joining us for a Civic Media special presentation, Making Your Vote Count 2024. I'm Civic Media host Maggie Dawn, and I'm joined by our political editor, Dan Schaefer.
Thanks so much, Maggie. Our goal tonight is to make sure we are all better informed about the voting process and know our rights as voters. We also hope to eliminate some of the voting falsehoods that have made headlines since the 2020 presidential election.
Well, to begin, we're going to head into the nuts and bolts of voting. We're joined now by educators and hosts of the Civic Media podcast, Busted Pencils. It's Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Johnny, Tim, thank you both for being here.
Thanks, Maggie.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to have you guys here to talk about this, because I can think of absolutely no one better than a couple of social studies teachers to give us all some tips on the finer points of voting. And it's especially appropriate because, of course, today is the first day of early voting in Wisconsin. So let's dig in there. Dr. Slecker and Lupinacci, what do we need to know about how early voting works in Wisconsin?
The in-person absentee ballot voting, more specifically, right?
Yes.
You gave one rule right away, is that it starts today. And typically, though, too, you really want to look at this. Your municipal clerk's office is where you can get that and get in there. Early voting locations are going to be different on election day spots. But the biggest thing, too, is make sure you bring this ID. You're bringing your ID, Department of Transportation issued U.S. military ID and U.S. passports. Johnny, a little bit more on absentee voting.
Well, yeah, Tim, I mean, this is just a good question. Like, can I even vote? Right? Like, let's start with the basics, right? Just like we would as social studies teachers. Who can vote early? Right. And so is it a choice? Well, yeah, you can choose to vote on election day or during the in-person absentee voting period. And early voting can help you avoid crowded polling places on election day. So when, Tim, when can you vote, right, if you're voting early?
Well, right now, but it really does, too, to make this where you go to do this. Check very much with your local authorities to see exactly where you can get this, because some municipal clerk's offices are going to have different hours in different places you can go, but make sure that you're able to go. So it is there that those rules, you know, make sure that you can. It started today up until the day, you know, of the election day. You can go in and get that and make that registered. But again, make sure you're bringing that photo ID, Johnny Lupinacci.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, because
you can always check Wisconsin's official site, right, to find out where you can vote early. So this is big. If you're wondering, can I vote early? The answer is likely, heck yeah, you can. And the next question, logical, is where can I do that? And you can go to the Wisconsin's official site to find out where you can vote early. And then like Dr. Tim said, you got to bring a valid photo ID. You need to have a valid photo ID to vote in Wisconsin. It's important. And Tim, you mentioned these. Right. There can be a DOT issued driver's license. Hey, even if it's suspended or revoked, that counts as a valid ID. Right. You can bring a U.S. military ID card, a U.S. passport, additional acceptable IDs. If we're thinking, what if I don't have one of those? That can be a tribal ID from Wisconsin recognized tribe, a veteran's photo ID card, or students out there, Wisconsin University College student IDs with proof of enrollment. This is a big one, young voters, right? Maybe you're like, hey, I don't have any of those IDs. Well, you got your student ID and then a proof of your enrollment. You can get there. You can vote. You can vote early or you can vote on voting day, but you got to have that ID.
Right. And the ID, just a quick question. Somebody said, what happens if I don't have my ID?
That's where I was going to ask next.
Okay. You have the ability to provisionally vote, but you will have to show up and make sure that you have one of those proofs, Johnny, that you went through to be there before your vote can actually then be put into the counting process. I don't know. I think that covers a lot, Maggie. What do you think?
I got one question, quick one for you. What if you're not registered? Can you still early vote, guys?
You can register right now as you're going in for your early voting. In fact, that's part of the process. You can register up until and on the day of voting again at your local polling place. Maggie, thanks. Great question. Almost forgot about that one. Yeah, the question, you know, so there when people say, I don't, it's too much. I can't do it. I didn't do it in time. You know what? The answer is yes, you can.
The other one I wanted to share with people is there's an organization called voteriders.org. You can check that out if you're having a problem getting a hold of ID. So if you don't know how to do that, they will help with the ID. They can help with a whole bunch of other voting things. And of course, you can always go to myvote.wi.gov. If you're outside of Wisconsin, that is vote.gov.
And you can also go to civicmedia.us/vote, where we've put together a whole bunch of different resources for things that you need to know for registering to vote, for early voting, all sorts of different things that you need to know to make your vote count this year. So Civic Media also recently had the chance to talk with Scott McDonnell, the Dane County clerk. Here's what he had to say about early voting.
The other way to do it, and I strongly recommend, is going in person. And there's some real advantages of that. There's 2 weeks generally before the election. Madison, for example, all libraries are places that you can vote early. You know your ballot got there because the clerk took it from you. You know that the witness was correct and there's no problems because the clerk did it. And you can pick the time. And you never know what's going to happen on election day, do you? You know, you could be sick. It could be pouring rain. Who knows? So you got a whole 2 weeks where you can pick a good time. Lines will be short. So I think, you know, we have that ability in Wisconsin. People should take advantage of it.
I know Scott well, worked with him back during the 2020 recount as I was advising Milwaukee County's election clerk. I believe him when he says, take advantage of the early voting. And so when you do vote in person, we also have this option of registering at the polls, which Drs. Tim and Johnny just mentioned. And we're one of 22 states that has same-day voter registration. Hooray. And yay. So Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Lupinacci, as our educators, let's talk about same-day voter registration for a minute. What do we need to know if we want to register at the polls?
Well, we say come back to this, too. Make sure you have that ID when you're bringing it to their biggest thing. Again, it we'll say if you'd forget it, you can bring it back within the next day. It has to be verified. But number one, if you're going to register to vote on the day that you're voting, make sure you bring that ID with you. That's going to be the most important part about making sure that you can register to vote. I say, yeah, and it's a great place because I've been in states too. Guess what? Showed up, your registration isn't here. Sorry, maybe next year you can try again. So yeah, Wisconsin, if you're out there saying, I haven't registered, you can do it right as you move in and move right to the polling place, Johnny.
Yeah, I mean, we could just reiterate it again. You just need that proper form of ID, right? It can be a driver's license. It can be any kind of DOT issued ID card, military ID card, U.S. passport, any of those kinds of things. And one of the ones that I would just want to put out there is it can also be a student ID with proof of enrollment.
Right.
Always a good idea when you're doing this also to have a proof of address, because where you vote is often linked to that. And if you have any questions about figuring out where you need to go vote, you can always contact like the clerk's office, or you can look at the websites offered here through Civic Media or for the Wisconsin vote resources. So it's really about figuring out where you can go to vote. And again, that web address is civicmedia.us/vote. You can go to that and you can get that information. It's really about knowing where to vote, that you can go all the way to the day of voting to vote. Early voting starts now, and you need just good ID, the proper ID, a proof of address. And if you don't have one of those IDs that we mentioned, there is a way that you can still go get registered and vote and then later show that proper form of identification.
It's so important to be prepared for this process, yeah, right? So important to be prepared. But once those ballots are cast, they need to be counted. So how do voters know their ballot is secure and counted on election day? Here's what Dane County Clerk Scott McDonnell had to say about counting votes in Dane County.
It's a little different from place to place. I would say the vast majority of Wisconsin, what happens is your absentee ballot is going to be opened and processed at the polling place that would have been your polling place on election day and fed into the scanner. And then all the people who come in person, same thing. They go into the scanner. You have to sign the poll book. So this is one thing I always have to remind everybody. There is a signature for every ballot. I never understood these, like, they're going to stuff the ballot box. Like, well, where are they going to get these extra signatures from? They have to match up. So you'll sign the poll book. You'll get a ballot. You'll show your ID, not in that order, and then fill out your ballot, cast it. On election night, then at the end, they'll close the polls and total those amounts and then send those results to the county. And then the county is where the totals for all of the different municipalities and wards in that county are added up, and you can see the results there. The county is supposed to post them within two hours of receiving them. There are some places where they're in, like Milwaukee is a good example, Janesville. There's a central count location just for absentees. So all the absentees go to the county or the city. They're totaled there separately. You can watch that process, and people do, trust me. And then the results are loaded from there. So that there's kind of two ways of doing it. But for the vast majority of people, it's all at the polls.
So, doctors, can you take us quickly just a little bit more through how that counting process works?
I mean, I think that was a great, clear definition. The whole idea, too, is making sure that it gets through the tabulation, the part there. Key thing to remember, too, is with the early voting, I heard a couple of people say, well, they start counting them today right away as we early vote. The answer is no. Actually, all those votes are waited until actually the election day, and they're put in and tabulated. And then the other, you know, for verifications, too, to make sure that – they then update their registration voting polls by actually checking the votes that have been cast with those people that has been registered. So along with that signature. So for anybody worried about any type of, they say, you know, boy, something funny's going on. Well, you know, here's the other part. If you think, guess what? The public, you're allowed to step in and observe this process as it's going through. I don't think anything else you got, Johnny.
Oh no, just that, you know, we hope that you get those votes in, you get all the information you need to be able to be an active, civically engaged citizen in a democracy and get those votes out there. So lots of good information. And any questions, just go to Civic Media. They got the answers.
Yeah, they do.
Thanks to Civic Media hosts and educators, Drs. Tim and Johnny. We appreciate you being here. We've got so much coming up for you next. So be sure to check in. We've got Ari Berman, author and correspondent, up next talking about the battle over voting rights. So keep it locked here on the Civic Media special coverage, Make Your Vote Count 2024. To the Civic Media special presentation, Making Your Vote Count 2024. I'm Civic Media host Maggie Dawn.
And I'm political editor Dan Schaefer. Voting is a fundamental right, but those rights should not be taken for granted. Not only has Wisconsin been a battleground politically in recent years, it's also been central to the battle over voting rights in the 21st century. Ari Berman is the national voting rights correspondent for Mother Jones, and has written extensively about voting rights in Wisconsin, including in his new book, Minority Rule. Berman sat down with Civic Media host Todd Alba to talk about what changed since 2010 on topics like voter ID and gerrymandering, along with the state's place in the national voting rights landscape. Here's Todd.
What is it about Wisconsin and voting rights that keeps drawing you back here?
Well, it's really one of the biggest battlegrounds in the country, not just politically, but also for voting rights. There's been a lot of attempts, particularly since the 2010 election when Republicans and Scott Walker took over the state, to restrict voting rights. Mm-hmm. Things like strict voter ID requirements, cutbacks in early voting, very gerrymandered maps. And there's also been a pushback against that with different kind of Democrats elected, a progressive majority on the Supreme Court that has done things like strike down gerrymandering, reinstate mail ballot drop boxes. So because the margins are so tight in Wisconsin always, the Republicans have tried to restrict voting to try to gain a partisan advantage. And the Democrats have tried to expand voting, I think because it's good for all Americans, but also because they think that if they turn out more of their voters – that's going to help them win close elections. So the voting rules are a microcosm in Wisconsin of just how competitive the state is.
I think it's really interesting in this new book called Minority Rule. You start out in the very first page with a quote from Robert Fighting Bob La Follette, of course, the Wisconsin institution. I think a lot of my progressive Democratic friends, you know, like to own him, you know, say that he's ours. People kind of forget Bob La Follette started out as a Republican in this state and then became a progressive, and a Republican who was an advocate like Dwight Eisenhower to expand voting rights. There was a time when my former party, which I left in 2011, used to want what you said Democrats now, which is, hey, let's get people out to vote.
Yeah, and the reason why I started my book quoting Fighting Bob was not because of his party affiliation, but because of the views that he elucidated, which is he believed that government should work for all instead of the select few. And that was kind of the Wisconsin ethos for so many years and why it gave rise to policies like collective bargaining rights for unions and unemployment insurance and Social Security and this whole idea called the Wisconsin idea that government should work for the common good. And when Republicans and Scott Walker took over after 2010, they changed that. Mm. And they wanted government to benefit this elite conservative white minority. Mm. And so they did things like make it harder to vote, flood the system with dark money, stack the courts with partisan ideologues instead of respected judges. And that really became a model that flourished not just in Wisconsin, but all across the country. And Scott Walker said very openly, if we can do it here, if we can make this 50-50 swing state look more like a place like Texas or Mississippi, then Republicans can do it anywhere. And that's one of the reasons why Wisconsin is not just a subject of my book, but is such a place that has outsized political influence elsewhere, because what happens here really does have ripple effects elsewhere.
I witnessed something. This is why I left the Republican Party in 2011, where the state Senate legislature, Republican legislature, wanted to make sure that certain people in Wisconsin, black and brown people and college campuses, where the voting was suppressed there. And they did that under the auspices of quote-unquote voter ID. That's why I left the party. But to the larger context, what you just said, under Walker and the Republicans during that time, instead of focusing on their ideas connecting, it was, look, we know this ain't going to sell. How can we suppress the vote? And I find that enormously disturbing.
And what you did when you were a member of the legislature, you blew the whistle. And this was something that was extremely revealing to me and other people who are covering this, because the Republicans were going out there and they were selling this as a voter fraud effort. They were trying to combat voter fraud, although they never found any voter fraud. And then what you said is behind closed doors, they were saying, well, we really need this because we want to go after college students and voters in Milwaukee. And that was basically the ballgame. They admitted it. And then they said other things. Like, remember, Glenn Grothman said, well, we have to stop early voting in Madison and Milwaukee. We have to nip it in the bud before it spreads to other places, right? So they were very clear that and then he also said, Glenn Grothman also said, well, voter ID is going to help Donald Trump win Wisconsin, which of course it did.
Yep.
And it led to a sharp decline in turnout, particularly in Milwaukee, which was one of the reasons Trump carried the state. So you're right. Instead of trying to pitch the power of their ideas, Republicans have tried to change how people can vote in Wisconsin and try to engineer outcomes, not just through voting, but through gerrymandering and other things. And the interesting thing is that some of those efforts have backfired and some of them are still ongoing. So voter ID is now a thing in Wisconsin. Yeah. It's just part of the politics of it. Other things like gerrymandering have changed and been struck down. And so Wisconsin has competitive elections at the state level like they didn't in years past. So I think there's this push and pull between Democratic and anti-Democratic forces across the country. And we see that very much still in Wisconsin today.
I want to get your take on elections coming up here in 2 weeks from today. What's your sense in your reporting, Wisconsin compared to other states? Can voters in Wisconsin, in your opinion, feel confident going to the polls?
Well, it's going to be tight. I didn't need here. My wife's like, what do you think in Wisconsin? I'm like, it's going to be tight. She's like, you didn't need to go there to say that. But I mean, you just see the signs. Yeah. You know, I was in Sheboygan and you're just, there's the sign wars are everywhere. I mean, it's a divided state. The good thing is Wisconsinites have a lot of different ways to vote. Voting by mail became a lot more accepted in 2020. We have not seen the same fights over mail voting by and large in Wisconsin in 2024 that we've seen in 2020. drop boxes have been expanded in a lot of places. There's in-person early voting. There's election day registration, which is really important for young people who tend to procrastinate. Yeah, right. If they don't get registered beforehand, they can do it at the poll. So I think Wisconsin's in a pretty good place for voting. The fact that there's a progressive majority in the Supreme Court is extremely important because remember, Donald Trump only came one vote short on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and it was a Republican, Brian Hagedorn, who stopped him from overturning the election in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. The fact that there's a progressive majority there is going to be extremely important for those post-election challenges that will inevitably come if Harris wins the state narrowly like Biden did in 2020.
Ari, what's your takeaway? What's your best – what do you want people to know 2 weeks out here from voting?
Well, I want them to focus not just on the top of the ticket but the bottom of the ticket as well. One of the things I've been out here doing is reporting on state assembly races, the fact that there are going to be competitive elections for the state assembly for the first time in a decade and a half is tremendously important. So focus not just on the top of the ticket, but what the state legislature has done has shaped Wisconsin so much. Different legislature could mean a very different Wisconsin.
Folks, that was journalist and author Ari Berman. I'm Maggie Dawn, joined by political editor Dan Schaefer for a special civic media presentation. We're going to be talking to a former Wisconsin...
Welcome back to Making Your Vote Count 2024. I'm civic media political editor Dan Schaefer, joined by host Maggie Dawn.
Thanks, Dan. As we all know, since 2020, prominent politicians and candidates for election have put on megaphone blast lies of a stolen presidential election. And these falsehoods spread so rapidly in the age of social media. And that misinformation, including lies about the voting process itself and election workers, which I find particularly repugnant, have had so many significant consequences on people's ability to vote and to maintain our collective trust in our election process. Former Republican Congressman Reid Ribble recently spoke in La Crosse as part of a nonpartisan panel for Leader Ethics of Wisconsin. Here's what he had to say about voter misinformation.
I do think that when you look at data, about 70 to 80% of Republicans would say that they don't trust that the elections are being conducted fairly. And something like that plays to that audience. And if you are always looking for a problem with elections, and you're looking at it on X or on Facebook or wherever you whatever social media you use, the algorithms continue to feed you that same misinformation, and it begins to reinforce until something becomes a belief. It's how urban legends get created.
So tonight, as part of this ongoing discussion on the voting process, we're going to tell you what you actually need to know about elections in Wisconsin. We're joined now by a panel featuring Scott McCallum, the former Wisconsin governor, who is now the Republican lead at the Wisconsin Alliance for Civic Trust, Marge Bostelman, a former Wisconsin elections commissioner, who is now a member of the Wisconsin Advisory Council at Keep Our Republic, and Nick Ramos, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Welcome to our panel, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
We have a lot to cover tonight, so let's jump right in. Let's start with ballot drop boxes. Marge, as a former Wisconsin election official yourself, let's start with you. What is the current status of using drop boxes in Wisconsin, and why have they become such a divisive topic in this state?
Just one thing. I currently am on the Wisconsin Election Commission, and I am a former county clerk in Wisconsin, just so you have a different perspective. You know, drop boxes were, there were two court cases. The first one, they were determined that they could not be used, and then it was re-looked at by the Supreme Court, and it was changed. And it's currently, the rules for drop boxes are, it's up to the municipal clerk whether or not they want to have one. That should be first and foremost. They're not mandatory. They're not, they're, it's up to the clerk how she wants to, whether or not he or she wants to use them. They are, there's requirements on them. They have to be secure. They have to be able to take only an absentee ballot. Nothing else should be able to fit into that, the opening. They are secure either to a building or to the ground. They are lighted. They are in areas where there's parking. So there's a lot of requirements to have drop boxes. And I think that they are safe. And I believe that because they are emptied often, you know, the municipal clerk determines that. But they are emptied often so that the ballots are within the clerk's hands pretty quickly. I think people may prefer to do that rather than drop something in the mail, because you never know whether the mail is going to be delayed or not. And this is a way for people who have absentee ballots to drop them in a specific place, knowing that the clerk is going to be picking those up.
So. But just very briefly, Marge, in your experience, both as a municipal elections clerk and on the Wisconsin Elections Commission today, drop boxes are safe and secure and reliable, and people can feel confident using them, right?
I believe they can. Yes, I do. I believe the fact that I don't know that everybody understands that in Wisconsin, we have 1,850 municipal clerks. So you are looking, the clerks in all of these municipalities are somebody that you see at the grocery store, you know, mothers of your kids' friends. They are fathers of their kids, your kids' friends. They are people who are in the community, and they are making the best decisions that they can regarding elections. And knowing how actually diligent they are at their jobs, they care about it. These jobs are important to them, and they want to see these elections being fair and safe. And I believe 100%. I have a lot of faith in municipal clerks. I have a lot of faith in county clerks. I think they care about their jobs, and they do a good job. And I think they are getting a bad rap. I think it's being perceived that they are not good at their jobs, and they are. They are very good at their jobs.
And they've been good at their jobs for decades without event, without problem. Right. And I think we continue to see municipal clerks showing up, and they are our neighbors, friends, who we see in pews and our mosques and synagogues. We've also got former Republican Governor Scott McCallum, as well as, again, Marge Bostelman and Nick Ramos, the executive director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. But I wanted to talk about another super controversial issue, and that is immigrants or non-citizens. All of a sudden, there's all this hubbub, and we've got to pass a law to make it illegal for a non-citizen to vote. But that's the law already, is it not? Scott, let's go to you first. What should voters know about who is and isn't voting in the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, and I'll address that. I just wanted to touch on one thing in the prior
commentary. Please go ahead, Mr. Governor.
Marge is absolutely right. We did a series of focus groups with WISAC around the state leading into this. Violence, there's a tendency towards more violence, concern of the local officials. But interestingly, almost, in fact, everywhere, invariably where we went, people felt as though their local officials were doing a good job, that their elections were being run right. It was the concern of, well, we're worried about Milwaukee, or Milwaukee's worried about Green Bay. Oh, yeah. So they're always concerned. And it was on, and I know Keep Our Republic, we've got a representative here, was on the same call today with some national groups. And they're saying the same thing, but it's statewide. So, you know, we're concerned about Georgia. Well, Georgia's concerned about Arizona. So it's always somebody else's backyard. Your question was on illegal immigration. There are some studies that would show that this has not been an issue in the past, but it's a very small sample, so you really don't know. I look at a number of these issues, if there's a large concern, we're trying to create a trust in the system, let's establish a way to make sure people have trust in it. You know, we've got, and the people in Wisconsin will decide, we've got a referendum on the ballot coming up November 5 as well on this. But we should be assured right now, it is against federal law, and there are fairly stiff penalties for illegal immigrants to vote. You need to be a U.S. citizen to vote in the U.S. in the presidential race.
Thanks, former Governor McKellen. Nick, let's go to you. If people are concerned about somebody being able to vote illegally, what's the best thing to tell them? Like, what are actually the facts on the ground? Is this happening? Is there any evidence that this is happening?
No. And what's fascinating to me is that we have an amendment that's being created based on, you get to listen to some of the bill sponsors, like, what's his name? Julian Bradley, I think his name is. He was.
Nick, can I jump in here real quick? Are you guys hearing the feedback from Nick, or is that just on my end?
I hear you speaking in feedback. Is that me?
I have none. It's fine for me.
Well, I'm going to cook real fast. So it's just fascinating to just see that we're creating amendments, which basically look like legislation that these lawmakers are creating to get around the governor's veto pen out of things that aren't necessarily problems to begin with. Like, I'm looking at this issue, and we got to watch folks that were asking about the ID petition process, the process that we have here in the state of Wisconsin, where you can go and get a free ID to go vote if you don't have your documents. And lawmakers were pressing the Department of Transportation here and asking, hey, are there illegal aliens or non-citizens going and using the ID petition process to go vote? And the state's experts, the very people that work with these lawmakers, are saying no. And what I find fascinating is that, do you really think that non-citizens would risk being in this country by going to then just vote in an election and then be thrown out, be deported? They've watched their loved ones get deported. I have a DACA recipient on my staff right now, and she did, in front of an entire room full of 200 people, showed what it would be like to try and register to vote, and it flagged her immediately. We have safeguards in place to be able to check non-citizens from voting. So let's stop making problems with our amendment process. Let's quit legislating through the amendment process, and let's stop trying to move the goalposts, because this is not going to just impact, you know, who you're trying to keep out, non-citizens. This is going to affect elderly people. This is going to affect low-income people, because voter ID laws, 10% of the voting age population literally does not have a government-issued ID. So they could not vote in Wisconsin right now. 460,000 people. So then you're going to ask people, if this thing passes, you want to ask them not only to bring an ID, but to bring a birth certificate? Get out of here. Like, voting should be easy, and we should not be trying to make it harder for people.
Let's move to another issue that has been especially divisive over the last few years. The quote-unquote late-night ballot dumps that have often occurred, particularly in the city of Milwaukee. Conspiracies surrounding this have been pretty pervasive in recent years. You know, you go to bed with one candidate in the league and wake up and another candidate's winning. What exactly is happening here, and what should voters be aware of when results are reported on election night?
Yeah, in Wisconsin, you're not allowed to start counting ballots until the polling places open up. And we've had an increasing number of people voting, early voting or absentee voting. With absentee voting, with all those ballots, one third of the ballots may be absentee. So there's a backlog, and the polling places, just so you know, poll workers, and recognize the number was given in the number of election officials in Wisconsin on election day in America. One sixth of all election workers are in the state of Wisconsin. We are a very localized system, and it's citizen run in many cases. Observers are allowed into the polling place to watch as the polling is taking place. But just to count this many ballots, and that's why it tends to be, people say Milwaukee, watch Milwaukee come in late. Yes, there are a lot more votes in Milwaukee. All of these need to be audited as you come through. So that is, they may be called a dump, but they're counting. They are not allowed to close, to go home as workers until they're done counting. So it's a long night for Madison, Milwaukee poll counters, people counting.
In order to address some of the negative perceptions and to help speed up the vote and put that rumor mill to rest, many in the Wisconsin legislature tried to do something about it to pass a bill. This is Assembly Bill 567 that would have allowed clerks to process ballots the Monday before Election Day.
Apologies to our listeners there who may have been hearing some audio issues. In addition to this conversation that we're having with the panel here, I put together a segment over at the recombobulation area talking about the issue of the late night ballot dumps and trying to explain that and why it is the way it is and why it did not change in the last 4 years, despite some of the bipartisan efforts in the Wisconsin state legislature to do so. So if you want that bonus content here as part of our special, go on over to the recombobulation area and check out that segment. It runs just about 10 minutes. And we're going to continue the conversation that we're having here about these late night ballot dumps, about the reporting of election results in Wisconsin as we get back from the break in just a minute here. Again, we are joined by former Republican Governor Scott McCallum, Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Marge Bostelman, and Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. You're listening to Civic Media, Making Your Vote Count 2024, and we'll be right back.
Joining us to tonight's Civic Media special presentation, Making Your Vote Count 2024. I'm Civic Media host Maggie Dawn.
And I'm political editor Dan Schaefer. Now, before the break, we were joined by our panel, former Republican Governor Scott McCallum, Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Marge Bostelman, and Nick Ramos, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And now we were just discussing one of the most pervasive conspiracy theories that has been around in Wisconsin since the 2020 election, which is this confusion over the late night ballot dumps. And so Milwaukee is a big part of this. Milwaukee is not allowed to open and process these ballots until Election Day. But we've had some efforts to change this over the past few years in the Wisconsin State Legislature. Unfortunately, those efforts came up just a bit short. So as we were talking before the break, Nick Ramos, you had some thoughts on this process as well.
You know, I was really riding high when we had a bill that could actually make it through the assembly here in Wisconsin. So AB 567 is what I'm thinking about. And it was a proposal to really get in front of this whole issue of we get to see all these absentee ballots come in big cities like Milwaukee, big cities like Madison. Why doesn't it sound smart to like give these clerks an opportunity to start counting them before, you know, the election hits, when you know there's going to be a ton of people that are going to be there in person? And we were riding high once the assembly advanced it, but for whatever reason we get to the Senate. And at the time, Senator Knodel, he wanted to put the brakes on it, and he put the brakes on it. I think the rationale was he wanted Milwaukee to get its act in order. And like, I think we could spend a lot of time talking about that and just the rationale, but let's just make one thing very, very clear, that when we don't advance bills like this, when we don't think about protecting our democracy and our election, you know, administration, it opens up the door for these conspiracies and for these things to happen. Like, we had a bipartisan bill literally sitting right in front of us, and for whatever reason we want to then, you know, act like we don't want the solution, and we want to then let chaos happen and let misinformation fly. So my big thing is that in this space, on the voting rights side of it, we are doing everything in our part to make sure that we educate people and let them know that, you know, within your local municipality, go to your clerks and find out directly from them what is going to be the process. But they're going to work as fast as they can. They're everyday people, and they're going to work within the parameters of course the law. And like, until we get a legislature that is got some gumption and wants to actually make fixes, we're going to have to deal with this until then. But we got fair maps, and after November, it's looking really good. So I'm happy about that.
We generally agree, I think all of us agree, on Wisconsin's elections being fair, and the clerks and election workers are doing a great job throughout the state, and people should feel as though they're secure. We disagree when we start talking like the commercials on TV now. And that's the issue. They're not going crazy.
Mr. Governor, let me just, Mr. Governor, let me ask you, many states begin counting early voting ballots early.
I have no problem with that.
Okay.
I have no problem with it. But just know as well, that same bill would have verified U.S. citizenship because our Department of Transportation already requires that for IDs. And it's very simple because the Elections Commission, if they're required to share that information with the Elections Commission, those names are updated constantly with our local officials. So I'm just saying, if we're looking at these things, it's not chaos one way or another. The system's going to work. It may take longer. Many of us thought that was a good idea, but there are other components of that bill as well that you strongly disagree with. Many people think there ought to be certification verification for U.S. citizenship. So that, I mean, that's part of our system of people disagreeing on these things, but moving ahead. And we all, let's recognize, we probably agree on 85% of the items. And let's just recognize, though, that not everybody in the state does. So let's try to move forward and create a trust in the system. And there will be issues. Just so we know, there will be issues on November 5th. There already are. There already have been. When you've got two ballots being sent out, absentee ballots in Madison, human error will occur. What we need to do is let the process work. If it needs to go to court, you do that. In many cases, just check it out and see if it was human error and rectify it.
We're coming up just to the end of the broadcast here, but just wanted some final thoughts here from some of our experts. Marge, what's one thing that voters in Wisconsin should know before Election Day this fall?
I think everyone should know that that the municipal clerks, the county clerks, work very hard to make sure that everything is fair. And they do a lot of effort prior to elections to make sure of that. There's training, there's poll worker training, there's the municipal clerks training, there's chief inspector training. Those are all the things that are happening to make sure that the elections run smooth and run well. And I believe that it is. And I sometimes get a little testy where people from somewhere other than Wisconsin say that for whatever reason our elections are not secure. I was involved in that for 24 years and worked with municipal clerks. They're not here. They don't see what's done. And that, like I said before, I truly trust our municipal and county clerks.
Well, thank you so much to our panel for joining us, and thanks to all of you for listening for our special civic media special presentation, Making Your Vote Count 2024.